Welcome to my channel. My name is Emmy from Emmy Evolving. If this is your first time joining me, thank you for finding me. If this is not your first time, thank you for coming back. So much information coming through, it's ridiculous. When I asked what today's conversation would be about, what I heard is, you won't believe what soul wants you to know. So you're needing to know something, and your soul is sharing that information. I think for some of you, this is something that is going to reverberate like on a collective level. For others of you, this is something that's going to be, I don't know, the information feels really intense, is what I will say. I'm just getting some cards for us. Here goes. Growth is the primary thing that your soul wants you to focus on. And whatever this growth is, really the task can only be completed by you. There's no one else that can force this. There's no one that can make it easier. Like, you have to be fully present for what's happening in order for this to happen for you. It's a choice that's being made right now. So there are things that are being cleansed in order to create space for you to begin remembering. Remembering what? I don't know, maybe past life things, past life connections. It might be something along the lines of past life bleed over, earlier life bleed over. Like, there's a lot of things, a lot of factors that it seems like it's not rooted in the right now, but you're experiencing it right now. So this tells me that you're in an intense, very, very intense cycle. And this is something your soul has already been trying to communicate to you. It's not a secret to you, because this card, secret in reverse. It's not a secret to you. It might be something that you're misunderstanding, though. Like, what's being communicated by soul, you might, maybe, be receiving it in a way that's causing you to project, to push it onto someone that's in your environment, someone that is safe for you. I don't know if that makes sense. And then, of course, there's this. Something wants you to feel trapped. Something wants you to feel like you're in a gilded cage. And maybe that's the projection. Maybe before you were, in fact, trapped, the goodness that you received was really payment for your compliance. For me, when I see this, it reminds me of my very young adulthood. I remember because I was very driven. I've just always been very driven. And I remember I got a job and I was like 17 or 18. I think I was 18. 18. I'm sure I was 18. So I was like 18 and my father found out that I had a job. And he asked me how much I make per hour. And he said, if I double that, if I pay you double what you're making, will you just stay home? No. I'd rather make half, because to receive that, I know that means you've purchased me. And it really programmed me to begin believing that when someone is nice to me, and some of the programs that existed that created issues for me were said outright, others were implied. So there was this belief that was programmed successfully, where if you're nice to me, it's because you're going to want something from me later on. If you give me something, if you give me some type of help, if you gift things to me, I'm now indebted to you in such a way where I can't ever say no to something that you want me to do, regardless of how it resonates or does not resonate with me. And so that earlier life type of programming began to really negatively impact my relationship, because at the early portion of my relationship, actually for the first couple of years, I was extremely uncomfortable allowing my then boyfriend to buy me gifts. He's not my husband, but yeah, it was a thing of like, no, no, thank you. No, I don't want you to pay for my food when we go out. Like, this is just, no. And it's this thing where I had to go through quite a few years of experiencing that and it creating issues between us before I realized the issue wasn't him. The issue was something inside me that was needing to be addressed by me. And he was simply being used as an external mirror for something that was happening inside of me. So this feeling trapped, right? Like it was a thing of, I would never allow myself to be put in a circumstance where I felt like I was trapped. Well, I mean, you really shouldn't allow yourself to be put in situations where you feel like you're trapped. But was I ever really trapped? No, because that's not the kind of relationship that I have. I literally do whatever I want. And my husband's okay with that. And because I love and respect him, I don't do things that are disrespectful to him, but I'm free to do whatever I want. This perception of being trapped in a gilded cage, I wasn't. The gilded cage was my own thoughts looping over and over and over. And because it kept looping, the guidance I was receiving was upside down. It was upside down. I wasn't able to receive the information at face value. It was always this thing of, okay, if you're telling me this, what is your ulterior motive? You must have some type of, I don't know, secret plan or something where, you know, you're going to screw me over later. And that's just not true, right? It's just not true. So now your soul is trying to get you to see the ways in which you've been creating issues for yourself. And it's not about pointing out that you're bad or wrong or any of that. It's about your soul trying to recalibrate your perception of who you are and how you're functioning within your life, creating problems for yourself and then projecting it onto other people. That type of cycle is ending, and it's going to be very, very difficult for many people. And the reason it's very difficult, well, because a part of you that's identified as that, it feels like it's dying. It feels like it's being completely removed. And if that's how you identify, that's a scary thing. It's a lot of uncertainty in that. Is your soul trying to destroy you? Or is your soul simply inviting you to step into who you actually are, what you actually deserve? Right. The time for negative perception of an invitation. It's a simple invitation from your soul. You're being invited to rise to your rightful place. Right. So fledgling, incubation. Yeah. This is where you're at right now. This perception that you are fledgling. You're becoming aware that you've been incubating and you want to exit out of that. And you're needing to stop making it so complicated. So what does this mean? I think for some, it could indicate that you're already in the spaces where you belong, like the friend group, workspace, relationship, whatever it is. It's unconventional, is the sense that I get. It's unconventional. You keep trying to open a door that's been locked from the inside, but because you're not allowing yourself to see that you yourself are the one who locked it, you keep fighting against that doorknob. It won't open and you're starting to freak out. That's why you're feeling trapped. That's why you are feeling trapped. Your perception is skewed. It's skewed because your soul is stretching you in order for you to return to the proper dimensions you belong. The proper shape, form, function, but you're resisting it. It's like pulling Laffy Taffy. It's like pulling taffy. It creates a distortion. If you allow yourself to simply go through the process, you restore your pliability. You restore that flexible strength. Your tensegrity is shifted in such a way that your true power is actually amplified. What's a better structure? A house made of wood, wood framing, or a house made of concrete? Wood or concrete, which one is a better structure? People who are afraid of their weakness, their perceived weakness, they'll say a house made of concrete, cinder blocks, brick. Those are solid. Depends on your environment. The best type of structure, the best type of foundation, it is a trick question. It depends on the environment you're building in. If you are in an environment that consistently has an ever-present threat of tectonic shifting, tectonic level shifting, where there's instability, when you build with concrete, you are setting yourself up for dangerous, catastrophic failure. Why? Because there's no flex there. There's no give. What environment are you existing in? One that has no threat of tectonic level shifting? Instead, maybe you're in an environment where the shifting and the moving, it's very consistent, very low grade. But what you need to do is insulate from the external. So you apply this to the ways in which you grew up and then where you're existing right now. So let's apply this to real life. I had a lot of fear. I was very fear-based in my younger years. And that doesn't mean I'm a bad person or I'm weak. That's a very honest assessment of where I was and how I existed. Because of that fear, I felt I needed a very solid type foundation, because whenever there was a shift in life, it was extremely catastrophic, extremely destructive, extremely disturbing and traumatic. And so I tried to build a foundation out of cinder block. Do you know in California, they typically don't build with cinder block. They'll go ahead and they'll do a facade on the exterior of the house. It gives a sense of brick aesthetic, but they don't actually use brick. Why? Well, I mean, if you want your structure to survive an earthquake, you're not going to use actual brick. Its tensegrity is not compatible with tectonic movement and shifting like that. So that's why most of the houses in California, and don't quote me because I'm not a builder, I'm not a general contractor, but it's my theory. Most of the houses in California are built of a wood frame with foam insulation, foam exterior. It's also cheaper. So I built out of cinder block, and every single time there was a shift, cracks would form in my foundation. It felt even more destructive to me. So I would continue to fortify more brick, more cinder block, more brick, more cinder block, fighting against the movement of your life. And then you wonder why life feels so heavy. Well, you're carrying around an entire pallet of cinder blocks and bricks. That's why life feels heavy. And then you feel so fragile, because one little bump, you're going to lose your balance. You're going to drop your pallets, and then you're going to have to start all over again. Depending on what environment you place yourself in as an adult, and you're consciously placing yourself in these environments, but you're not always taking accountability for the environment you've chosen. So I placed myself in an environment where there's a lot of assholish people in this world. And luckily for me, a lot of assholish people, they see me and my aesthetics, and they assume that I would be an easy target. So there's a lot of folks with their metaphoric sledgehammers trying to sledgehammer their way through and destroy my foundation because they think I'm an easy victim. Yeah, right. And here's the thing. I learned this lesson in advance of allowing myself to be placed publicly. So what did I do? I shifted in the material that I used to continue the building of my life. I'm retrofit for the environment that I exist in. Because sometimes when you know there's a potential for earthquakes, you know, these huge life shifts, but you also know that you're building extremely high because you have an extremely high purpose. And this doesn't mean that you're elevated among others. You just have an awareness that there are things you're going to need to accomplish that require elevation. So that's like, what, a skyscraper? Well, are there high winds? Because now there's other factors being placed in that mix. And maybe sometimes you need to understand that what you're going through is your soul making you aware. Your options to build were never just wood or brick or cinder block. They're steel. Steel beams. There are ways to take control of the architecture of your life, to fortify you in such a way that is in harmony with what you will face. The reason you're afraid of what's going to happen in life is because you have no idea what you've built your life on. None. This is the period where your soul is showing you. Your soul is inviting you. Twin ray healing in reverse. What does that mean? You pair it with a card that kind of popped out, growth, twin ray healing, but this was in reverse. Okay, so for me, what does this say? Your growth is yours. It's not contingent on what someone else will do. And if your growth and your happiness is going to be placed in someone else's hands, like, it's just not taking accountability. I'm not sure why, but lately I've been really thinking about the early portions of the history of my relationship. And it was a lot of me just assuming that I was kind of the superior. Like, kind of just go with the flow of things. True story. I have no fucking chill. I don't have any chill. And I'm intense. I'm extremely intense. I'm extremely observant and hypercritical. These are things that I put tremendous effort into working through these things within myself. And I look back at the relationship and it was this thought, this concept of, you know, I'm teaching him to be a better person, a better man. And I'm tired of teaching him. And that created a lot of conflict between us. I look back and I was so fucking asinine. I was, because how do I, as a woman, as a female who has been surrounded by toxic masculinity my whole life, my father's a narcissist. It's my belief that he is clinical and malignant. I have no idea of what it means to be a healthy man. Yet I believed, I was so staunch in this belief that I was teaching my husband to be something I had no idea how to be. Think on that, guys. Think on that for a second. How do I teach someone to be something that I've never been, will never be, have no idea what it's like to be? Yet I continued to project that my unhappiness with myself that created unhappiness in my environment was because it's his fault. Now that I've reached the level of maturity that I'm currently at, which is not at the highest level that I have the potential to reach, I look back and I'm like, I was so obnoxious.
I was so obnoxious. And it's not to say that I was the villain and he was the victim. It's to say that we both were equally wounded, equally flawed, equally unsure, and equally confused as to how we're supposed to grow, and equally unaware of the fact that we were already in the process of growing. It's not to say that relationships, friendships, work environments will never have conflict if you're doing it right. It's to say that the conflicts that arise oftentimes are the very things that are intended to bring your attention to the way in which your view on yourself, your function, and your co-created environment, it's not always accurate. Because now these days, you guys have heard me say this so many times over the years, quite possibly, aside from our children, my husband has been the greatest teacher I've ever come across. Why? He has no intention of teaching me. He simply exists with me. He simply exists. And he holds such a profound space that used to irritate me because it's like, I want conflict. I realize that now, like I want conflict. And he wouldn't push back. But what was that going to achieve? Nothing. So he would just hold the space. He would hold the space and give me the room to figure shit out. And most of the time, by the time I start to begin to realize what's really happening here, I begin to realize I initiated a conflict that was not rooted in the reality of what was happening. And it's not to say that I was a problem. It is to say that my perception, my opinions about misalignment, misunderstanding, I amplified that and amplified that and amplified that. For what? Because I was accustomed to living in a war zone. And I couldn't simply have the conversation that was necessary to create equilibrium between us. And he still had a lot of growing to do as well. That's the thing. We both were in the process of growing, of growth. And the differences that existed between us were the very things that invited me to learn more about myself, learn more about the distortions, right? And for many of us, we really have no idea how worthy of love we are. We have no idea of what healthy love is. And then, of course, you toss in all the spiritual teachings, the social media stuff. And there's a lot of good stuff on social media, but there's even more really bad, very distortive type stuff. You throw all those things in and then the opinions of others, and it just really becomes a thing of like, now there's real conflict. Conflict within ourselves that we project out into our environment. Your soul is really opening space for you to be able to see yourself clearly. And again, everything I've said, it has nothing to do with you need to admit you're a bad person. I don't know that you're a bad person. I don't think that you're a bad person. I think you're in the process of growth, growing in such a way where you're able to begin to see like, I don't like this. I don't like where this is going. I don't feel happy and I need to take charge of my own happiness. Because I've been with my husband, I believe 27 years now. 26, I don't fucking know. 20 something. And it's a thing of, he's not responsible for my happiness, but he does go out of his way to try and facilitate me choosing to return back to happiness. He's not responsible for that though. I am. It's up to me what I choose what I stop yelling. Michael's yelling, and it's like, what's going on? That's not good. How do you guys feel? Do you guys feel like weird in a not good way? Weird, anxiety climbing, pressure clicking, high frequency squeal type sound in the ear, pressure on the forehead, pressure on the chest, dealing with toxic people, helpful but not required. I got into the room. So far, so good. Take note of the details outlined. Rise most. The signs are everywhere. Are you paying attention? Set the scene. You don't have to break the bank. Slightly sharper. Don't use a template. Start from scratch. You're stronger than you realize. This is your moment. Trust the plan. Happening fast. You're about to level up big time. Don't be one of them. Life is not a bed of roses. What's really happening? And this is for people feeling behind in life. Yes, you. This is the breakthrough you needed. No more waiting. This dream is finally real. This is it, the moment you've been preparing for. How much do you need? The wait is over. Rewards are here. You've waited for this moment. Here it comes. You won't believe what you're about to discover. Skills. A lot of messages here. A lot of messages. Lots and lots and lots of messages. Let's see. What are you guys feeling? The energy around my heart feels crackly and down my arms and legs. High-pitched sound since yesterday. There are things that are happening, and these things that are happening, it's trying to push forward specific types of potential. When you allow yourself to feed into that, then you are helping to bring this negative potential to full fruition. Most of us are not aware of the way our energy is being used and harvested by other things. So you need to become cognitive of it. You need to allow yourself to become aware. Okay. Not only that, you need to have faith in your own process. Lack of faith in your process is what's causing you to not trust in yourself. Trying to force, trying to rush, trying to make something happen. There's a fine line between being driven and being desperate. Oh, did you guys realize that? There's a fine line between being driven and being desperate. Do you guys know what that line is? The fine line between desperation and drive is your intent. Is your intention simply to accomplish something regardless of whether or not people will recognize the accomplishment and give you accolades for it? Because if it's strictly to achieve a specific goal, create a specific outcome, I would say that's drive. I would say that that's you being driven. However, if you being driven, your goal is to prove something to other people, to prove that you're enough, that you have value, that you're worthy, that, you know, you're not less than someone else, you're trying to keep up and this and that. That's not drive. That's desperation. Are you desperate? And be honest with yourself. I've existed in a space of desperation several times in my life. And the only time I was able to exit out of that space was when I was able to be honest with myself about feeling desperate. And then I was able to implement certain things that allowed me to correct that feeling of desperation. When you create from a space of desperation, you create detrimental depletion. It's the three D's of life. desperate, detrimental, depletion, the three Ds, right? Get it? 3D. Most people exist in this way. Most people exist in this way. You're desperate to prove that you're a good enough friend. You're desperate to prove that you're a good enough employee. You're desperate to prove that you're worthy of your family members. You're worthy of your partner. You're worthy of existing. You're just desperate to prove that. And that desperation typically extends from a childhood where you were never validated, never seen, never honored, never celebrated. So then what needs to happen? If that's how your childhood was, what needs to happen to correct that? You need to be your own cheerleader. Simple. It's very, very simple. But most people will not do it because they feel stupid doing it. They feel as though they are full of themselves. They feel as though people will see that. And they will think that you're cocky. They will think that you're conceited. They will this, they will that. You know, here's the thing. The most liberating moment of my life was when I said, you know, fuck it all. Fuck it all. And then I really was just like, I don't give a shit. Not about that. Not about that. So then what happened after I did that? I was able to breathe. Did you know that for most of us, we don't even breathe deeply enough? We don't breathe right. We breathe just enough to stay alive. And as you continue to breathe shallow, you continue to signal to your body you are in harm's way. You are in a harmful environment. And then, you know, the craziness just continues to compound and compound and compound until you eventually get sick, until you develop mental instability, emotional instability, which then probably will affect your financial stability. And then it becomes a snowball. You know, it just... all because you just needed to breathe. Did you know what determines whether or not you develop pneumonia when you have a respiratory infection is whether or not you fill your lungs with air? For many people, when you get a respiratory infection, you typically, and I'm not a doctor, this is just my observation as someone who has sensitivities to specific types of things. When you develop a respiratory infection, you tend to breathe more shallow because breathing deeper has a tendency to trigger coughing spasms. And then you don't want to cough, so you try and not irritate it by breathing more shallow. And the more shallow you breathe, the more opportunity bacteria and viral stuff has to enter deeper into your lungs. And then you let it sit. And lack of movement, lack of breath, lack of flow of energy. And then next thing you know, you have pneumonia. And the moment you develop pneumonia, you then become predisposed to developing it again later in life. So what do you need to do? What is it that you need to do? Oh, when I lived with my brother and son, I got pneumonia over and over again. It was awful. When you lived with those two people and continuously got pneumonia over and over, were you constantly in a state of stress, tension? You wanted to like side skirt whatever conflict you could. So you were walking on eggshells, tiptoeing around, trying not to breathe too loud and disturb the very delicate piece that actually didn't exist, but you didn't want to trigger anyone. Super curious. Super, super, super curious. I used to get sick really, really bad all the time, all the time. And then I went through a period where my family was super insulated and we didn't get sick for quite a few years. And now we're not super de-duper insulated and we get exposed to things here and there. And you know, or they spray the air or whatever, and we'll get respiratory infections. And at first I went through that where I got real sick. And then I began to command my body and I began to tell myself, you're going to cough anyway, so might as well take a deep breath. And now I don't get as sick as I did when I first started getting sick. So then what does that mean? I began using my power for myself first and foremost so that I could remain in a healthier state so that I could take care of my children and my husband if they get sick. So they were constantly fighting and you were constantly on eggshells. Yeah. Suppression. When you suppress, when you oppress, when you repress, everything that's kind of staved off, even if you take a lot of like allergy meds, Benadryl, things like that, allergy meds, eventually it enters into the lungs. This was explained to me by my treating naturopath when I was still seeing her. I have asthma because there's so much I suppress. And I know when I'm doing too much and suppressing too much, because what happens? I start to wheeze. I become so much more susceptible to all sorts of different things. So much more susceptible. So more recently, all of my family got sick. And it was a respiratory thing. And surprisingly, I didn't, because I have the weakest lungs in the family because of all the suppression. I have the weakest lungs and it usually hits me the hardest. And this time I didn't get sick at all. And I think it was because I was just so fucking pissed off at how much demonic attack I had already sustained in the entirety of this year. And I'm just so fucking over it. So over it. And I was just like, no more. No fucking more. And so I didn't get sick. It was weird. It was weird. Because usually I'll be the one who gets sick first. I'll start with a wheezing first and the struggle to breathe and all of that. So observe where you are within your journey, within your life, and begin taking stock of how you suppress, how you oppress yourself, how you project onto others things that really are only within your grasp to control. It's up to you. It's up to you. Your soul wants you to know this. You have to release your allegiance to your trauma. I think for many of us, we don't realize we have this allegiance to the trauma that we've carried since childhood. We will defend that trauma and blame everyone else. We do that quite a bit. I don't do that as much now. It's quite rare for me to do that at this point. Why? Because I can absolutely hold myself accountable for anything and everything that I do. Anything and everything that I do, I can speak openly about, oh yeah, no, I was tripping. I have no chill. I do. I have no chill. For the most part, my no chill only extends to myself, my husband, and our kids. Everyone else, I can tolerate pretty much everything. I'm super duper patient with everyone else. For myself, no chill. Working through it though, working through it. And sometimes it's the catastrophic things you experience that give you the opportunity to work through it. So I told you guys, I finally got myself a coach because of all the injuries that I've had this year. And then the coach gave me a specific set of exercises to rehabilitate my whole body. And then the coach explained to me, I'm not allowed to do anything else, just those specific exercises. And one morning I had texted my coach, hi, could I add maybe like one or two sets of dumbbell lateral raises for my deltoids? Only like 5 pounds. And my coach reamed me. He's like, you don't know how to listen. You don't do what you're told. He was fucking mad at me. He's right, though. He was right. I have fucking no chill. because I want to work out. Like, I want to be strong. It makes me feel good to be challenged and be strong. And I wasn't ready. And he knew that. And he just went off for like 20 minutes. I stopped answering his texts. And he just kept right on texting. He's like, now that you're not feeling as much pain, you're going to fuck it all up again. You sabotage yourself all the time. This is what you do. Like, just some really necessary words that cut like a paper cut. It stung. But it's true. It's true. Everything he says is fucking true. It's true. So what did I do? I decided to stick to what he said to do, nothing else. And then the other day, he says, it's been X amount of time. He called me in the evening and he's like, you get your wings back today. And I was like, what's that mean? And he's like, you can start adding exercises, do whatever you want. But here's the thing. I hadn't told him I had slipped my disc again. And I told him in that phone call, I said, I can't, not yet, because I slipped a disc again. He's like, what were you doing? Because he was prepared to hear me say that I have no chill again. And I said, I wasn't doing anything. I was just standing there and the disc slipped out. And it has a lot to do with when my body feels fatigued, because I did too much, which I did. Neuromuscular stimulation using electrodes. So that contracts the muscle at a much deeper level than even proper form and heavy weights. So I did a session of that and my back was fatigued. And when I'm tired, my muscles will not hold my joints in place. I have to strengthen the tendons, which is why I did that, knowing I would fatigue my muscles. So I let him know, even if I have no chill, I have a responsibility to keep myself safe. And so he agreed, like, yeah, no, not yet then. Wait another maybe 2 weeks and you can start adding things slowly. Go based on the way you feel. If you feel compromised that day, then don't do that. Like, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. So now my no chill is not about driving myself to the point of exhaustion. It's about controlling that energy so that my form is impeccable. My holds are stronger and I'm engaging what should be engaged. So I'm making these little tweaks in the movements, just little things that further engage what needs to be engaged. And maybe this is a period where your soul is inviting you to make those little shifts, those little changes. And you might be like, well, okay, what do you mean? Okay, well, if you continue with the workout analogy, he was having me do planks using the TRX band. So I shove my feet into the bands and it's a suspension band. It, you know, it'll basically keep my feet off the ground, but there's movement to it. So there's instability. It engages my core even more. It's not like doing a plank on the floor because the floor doesn't move. So now it's working my stabilizers deep in my core, along my multifidus, rectus spinae, those type of things. And just last week, I could only go on my elbows, which that's challenging enough. It was challenging enough. And today I'm on my hands doing planks with proper form, engaging what needs to be engaged. That's progress. I'm getting stronger. Still in pain, but less pain. Not only do I feel less injured, I feel more at peace because the progression is registering. I'm still not where I should be. Nowhere near what I should be, but I'm where I must be right now. That frustration that I normally would feel, that like wanting to cry, like it's not fair. It was never supposed to be fair. It was supposed to be challenging. Let me say that again, because it's important. It was never supposed to be fair. it was always supposed to challenge you to reach the highest potential you have the capacity to reach in that moment. So next week, I'm still going to be on those TRX bands. And when I go to do the planks, I'm not just going to do a plank. I'm going to do a plank to inverted leg tuck. I can feel it. My core is strong enough to do that, but I'm not going to rush it. Not yet. Not yet. Because this is where I need to be right now. I don't need to push it to the point where I re-injure myself and push everything back yet again. If you look at your progression through your spiritual journey, how often do you feel your strength surge? And because of that, you do things that you know will sabotage your progression, your healing, your journey. You'll do it anyways, just to be able to prove to someone. There was this girl who had a video. She was just adorable, adorable. And she was so proud of herself. She's like, I hit my PR. She was doing hip thrusts, except she was doing it wrong. So that PR doesn't count. All she did was predispose herself, expose herself to extreme vulnerability, to serious back injury. You don't fuck with your back like that. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. A hip thrust is a specific type of movement. It's a hinge movement. It is not a thrust your hip forward like you're fornicating a barbell. No, there is nothing like that. You are hinging, hinging, hinging. If you can't keep that core stable, flat, contracted, you're going to hurt yourself. I didn't comment at all. There were already quite a few people who, in a very loving, very respectful manner, were giving her the advice that she needs. You need to put lighter weight. You broke your form. Second rep, you broke your form. You don't fuck up your back real good. As someone who's had a fucked up back for quite a few years, since 2002, I don't fuck around with that. No, absolutely not. L5S1, that will fuck up your whole life. I'm good. Yet I'll work up to it again. I was able to hip thrust over 500 pounds. That's the key, proper form. If you're going to do heavy lifting for your life, if you can do it, shit, do it. Hell yeah, do it. But is your form proper? Because if it's not, don't. There's no point. You want to prove to someone else that you can. There's no point. There is no point. You have people who go through their spiritual process, and their spiritual process is nothing but the equivalent of ego lifting at the gym. Do what you need to do. Do it in the proper way. Do it at a pace that's appropriate for you. It doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter what other people think. Make sure nothing, whether it's the words of people outside of you or your own words inside yourself, make sure those words never distort the reality of what's happening here. What is happening? Did you say you can leg press almost 1,000 pounds? Yeah. Well, not now. I'm weak as fuck right now. I'm literally 20 pounds of muscle down. This one girl who I befriended at my now current gym, she saw me this morning. She's like, hey, girl. Like, hey, girl. She's so sweet. She's like the sweetest, I swear. I haven't seen her since I've been injured. So she's like, you look so good. And I was like, girl, I got injured. And then she's like, but you look so good. I'm like, I lost 20 pounds of muscle, like literally 21 pounds of muscle because I weighed myself today. And she goes, but it looks so good. I'm like, girl, I'm so weak right now. She just kept insisting it looked good. Okay, thank you. I'm like, and everyone at that gym that hasn't seen me for a couple weeks, because I drop weight fast. They're like, you look so good. You dropped a ton of weight. And I'm like, motherfucker, stop telling me that. They don't know. They don't know. That's like, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I'm in the process of getting it back, right? I'm in the process of getting it back. And that's the thing. I might not have any chill, but, and I don't think that will ever change. But here's the thing. This is the one thing that I did change that made this journey so much healthier for me. Despite having no chill, I have exponentially expanded my capacity to have compassion for myself. Exponential compassion. That's what I needed. That's what I needed. So this card pops up, right? Defend to the end the worthwhile. But it's in reverse. So does this mean that you should just let people walk all over you because, you know, you're the problem? You're being too bitchy? No. It means remove yourself from the environments where you consistently have to fight. And if that environment is internal, then you need to rotate and place yourself somewhere else within your journey. Sometimes, you know, we continue to exist in a mental house because you have multiple mental houses, multiple emotional houses. You have an entire real estate portfolio within yourself. And sometimes we continue to live in the very emotional or mental house that has already been condemned many years ago. You still continue to live there with a black mold and the cracked foundation and the leaking roof and the broken windows. Why? Because you're comfortable there? It says a lot. You've become so comfortable in a state of disarray, dysfunction. And then you'll nitpick everyone around you. You'll nitpick maybe silently to yourself or maybe out loud. I don't know. But you nitpick and you nitpick and you nitpick. Why do you nitpick? Because you don't want to look at yourself. It takes a certain degree of courage to be able to look at yourself and recognize it's time to stop that internal war. You stop that internal war, it takes some effort. It's not the easiest thing. It's not impossible, but it's not the easiest thing. You stop that internal war and suddenly the things that are happening outside of you are not so irritating. It's not a big deal. Why? Because it's literally not a big deal. So what do you need to do now? Well, here. You need to allow yourself movement. Extend your sails. Extend the sails and the winds of change will blow you into a different direction. Why can't you keep going in the same direction? I mean, have you been happy? Be honest with yourself. Have you been happy? Because if you haven't been happy and you're going to continue the same thing, going in the same direction, what? Because you've already committed weeks, months, years, blocks of your life you've committed to going in the same direction because you've already been going in this direction. Okay, but have you been happy? Is it the right direction? Because if it's not, then you're responsible for your unhappiness. It is you. Some people need to hear that. Now that you've heard that, what are we going to do to make you happy? Because you have control over that. You do. We have control over that. It's not something that someone else outside of you is going to do. It's what you are going to do for yourself. How are you going to shift it? You guys just saw me a couple of live streams ago and I was like really upset. I couldn't control it. I couldn't hide it. I was upset at the way my health has gone. And I'm so different today. Why is that? Thank you for the reminder, Lindsay. Because I choose not to stay in that same mind frame. I'm still injured. I'm still in pain right now. Okay. I had a good workout. I had a damn good workout. It was only like, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 pounds that I was able to lift. That's nothing compared to over 100,000. But damn, my body's feeling stronger. I'm feeling more solidified in this rehabilitation journey. And, you know, I blast my lats every workout, right? That's one thing that has atrophied and I need to restore that function. So I do a ton of lat pull downs. I say a ton like it's a lot. No, it's only two sets. But there's three types that I do. And it's this thing of the way it moves, the way my shoulder blades track, because I have an injury with a shoulder blade as well. It's being restored. And I'm happy about that. I challenge myself. I'm still nowhere near what I used to do, but I challenge myself and my body's responding. And that's all I can ask for right now. And that's what I've worked towards, and I'm getting the results. Aesthetically, no. No, not at all. The feeling, the movement, the form, the function, yes. I'm feeling the difference. And that's all I can do is celebrate that little win. And I might not have that same win tomorrow. I might not feel the same tomorrow. That's okay. I can still celebrate the right now. My body is tired. I can feel my muscles are very fatigued. I don't have the stamina that I used to have. That's okay. It's okay. I'm building something different this time. This time, it's not just for aesthetics, packing on the weight as much as I possibly can on my little ass frame. It is what it is. I need to be strong from deep inside my core before I set any other goal. I need to know that everything is working in the way it needs to work before I set any other goal. I'll get there. My body remembers. I've gained about 3 pounds of muscle back in the last week. And I'm not even counting my macros. My tissues are swelling, the muscles are like, oh, we're working again? Okay. I'm like, yes, baby boo, come back. It's nowhere near where I was, but I'm not where I was. Where I was not focused on what I need to do for me. Where I was focused strictly on a specific goal, a specific time frame. Where I was a space of desperate desire to win. It didn't take my needs into consideration. It didn't factor in my ascension mechanics. And where I was serves me now. Why? Because, baby boo, if I didn't have the 20 pounds of muscle that my body ate, holy fucking shit, I'd be hospitalized. You guys, hold on. You need to understand how much my body ate. My little ass body. It's okay. You'll get that back. I just saw my leg earlier today. I gotta laugh. I was talking to my body today because my hamstring freaked the fuck out. In the middle of an exercise, my hamstring freaked out. And I was like, calm down, little chicken leg. Calm down, little chicken leg. Relax, relax. Don't be so angry. Don't be angry, little chicken leg. And I know the other people at the gym is fucking cracking up. Like, what? What is this girl? Who is this girl talking to? My legs, leave me alone. Life be funny sometimes. Hold on. Oops. All right. This is shit looks like I had the proportions of a Clydesdale. Okay, here. Hold on. No, I don't want to make my ass a sticker. Get out of here. Okay, I'm going to show you guys this because y'all need to see. This is after I got injured the first time. And you see how thick that shit is? I could barely fit some of my pants at that point. Like, those are my quads that you could see from the back. I was just, yeah. It is what it is. It is what it is. Me today with my flapjack, my flapjack and chicken leg. My little cheeky cheekies is right there. It's a little cheeky cheeky. Hold on, hold on. I should, maybe if I show you guys while it's straight. This shit is just, is scrawny. How the hell is scrawny? But it's okay. My body's already responding after a week. Right? I don't have that ridiculous pain that I was having. It's, that pain is gone. I still have pain, but that pain of like catastrophic injury is gone. You have to allow yourself to recognize the ways in which your perceived loss is actually a type of gift. It's a deconstruction that allows you to rebuild in a way that's more aligned with what you're actually going to do in life. What you're actually going to do in life. Thank you, Berta. I will get it back. I will. And I'm now not in a rush to get it back as my body feels stronger. I feel much better. I really do. I feel much better. But I still have to keep in mind the current set of limitations that my body has me at, because I need to care about myself and my process. Just like you have to care about yourself and your process. You have to go through your spiritual stuff in the way it needs to happen. So something doesn't want you aware. It's a demon. That's how I feel about that. Something wants you in a highly reactive state, feeling all sorts of different ways about yourself. Yeah. It wants you frustrated. It wants you pissed off. It wants you blaming, externalizing, projecting. It wants all of these really, really toxic trauma responses to be on deck so that what? So it can wreck every single aspect of your life. Right now, the potential is extremely expanded, extremely elevated, extremely expanded. And so what does that mean? That means you have the capacity to do extremely expanded, profounded, positive things, as well as negative things. You took 6 months off and felt hella weak after. Yeah, good Lord. Oh my gosh. Berta, my laptop was too heavy for me to carry. I'm not even joking. Y'all, this is a, like, wrap your mind around that. My MacBook was too heavy for me to carry for quite some time now. I can carry it now, but yeah, it was too heavy to carry. Because I couldn't. Instantly, I could feel I was going to injure myself even more so. As someone who's hyper-independent, I'm hyper-independent, right? As someone who's like that, it is just another level of devastation to have to depend on others. To lose your independence in that way. It's crazy. It hurts. And a lot of my pain, I'm realizing in this moment, a lot of my physical pain is really an expression of the emotional pain that I wouldn't allow myself to acknowledge. It just is what it is. And what your soul wants you to know is that you're being led through something, and this is nothing more than a process. And this process is going to be the very thing that prepares you for the next part of your life, the part where you are in your full power, the part where you've learned to show yourself some grace, you've learned to just really give yourself the freedom to exist. So then comes this question. I don't know if it's one of you that's wondering it. So does that mean you're giving up on competing? That means right now competing is not my concern. When I'm strong enough to begin fixating on doing a competition, I probably will. I probably will. But right now, I'm fixated on regaining my strength. Nothing more, nothing less. I need to regain my strength. Having goals that are so far flung into the future, sometimes that's the very thing that sabotages your efforts. Because if I fixate on that, okay, my coach said, I can do pretty much any exercise except anything that's overhead, anything that compresses my spine, causes spinal compression. So, I mean, really though, I could do leg presses and I have the drive. I could grow my legs real fast. It responds really quickly. I could grow it fast. And then I could just do a whole bunch of fucking peptides. I could. There's a peptide for this, a peptide for that. I could fucking swell my tissues. I have been studying some of the science behind all of these things, and I've learned some techniques that are extremely effective. What will that do me? My hip flexors are intimately connected with my core and my back. I make those excessively strong while my core is still excessively weak. That's a recipe to fuck myself up so good. I'm not willing to. You see, part of this parasitic thing, this demonic thing, it's about triggering your insecurities. It's about causing you to look at yourself and think and feel that you are less than because something that what you worked for, you no longer have. Maybe you no longer have it because you no longer need it. Or maybe what was built from trauma and a desperate desire to prove even to yourself that you are strong enough. And now I don't need that. Whatever I lost that was built when I was in that mindset, I won't miss it. My body continues to build. You know, I think it's like every 7 years. I think, don't quote me. I think it's every 7 years. Science has said that your body is completely rebuilt. You're made of completely new cells. So why do you keep trying to hold on to the you that no longer exists? Is it because you're afraid? And it probably is. But if you are afraid, what are you afraid of? And if you're going to tell me failure, I'm going to tell you without hesitation. You've failed so many times in your life. You know how to fail and get back up. So why be afraid of failure? Oh, I'm very serious. That's one thing I realized about myself. I tried to convince myself that I didn't do certain things. I didn't allow myself to attempt specific things because I was afraid of failure. In reality, I was not afraid of failure at all. I'm very good at mitigating failure. That's one of my most developed skills. So what was I really afraid of? Succeeding. Because then if I succeed and other people witness it, then I can't go back to that small space that I've allowed myself to become comfortable existing in, despite how painful it was. you guys see the version of me that exists right now. And the version of me that exists right now, if I try to go back to the version of me that was presented to the world in 2017, you'd be like, what are you doing? I mean, this is not you. Why are you acting like you're afraid and meek and docile? You're not fucking docile. You're one of the most rambunctious, rowdy people I've ever come across. Your energy is just chaos and expansive, and I love it. You'd be like, "That's what are you doing? That's not you." Right. Right. It was me, but it's not me anymore. So the rebirth of magic, reborn from shadow. The things that you've always been and have hidden away, it's coming back to you now. You're being invited to be who you actually are. And who are you? If you're going to be honest, you would answer me, I don't know. If you're trying to prove something, you would give me all these labels. You see how that works? Social media has done a big number on almost all of you. So some of you will say, I'm healed. Oh, I'm a high priestess. I'm a Magdalene priestess, goddess priestess. Oh, I'm a shaman. Oh, I'm a light worker. I'm a light warrior. I'm a spiritualist. What are the other two? I'm a star seed. And in my head, I'm saying it like Stifler's mom. I'm a star seed. Yeah, all these. And I'm not laughing about people using these terms. I'm laughing because I was saying it like Stifler's mom in my head. What are these labels? It's not you. Might be an aspect of something you've been filtered through, but it's not you. I've been filtered through Arcturus. It's given me an elevated capacity and desire to create opportunity for physiological as well as psychological healing for clients. Am I Arcturian? No, I'm human. I'm human. I got a big ass forehead like them. I got eye slant like they do. And when I get really lean, my eyes look big as fuck like an Arcturian. Am I Arcturian? No, I was filtered through them. I was also filtered through the founders. What's that mean? I'm what? Nothing. It doesn't mean anything to me. But Amy, are you a Blu-ray? Yeah, all humans are Blu-ray. Humans are hybridized Melchizedek. So what does that mean? Nothing. Can I claim to be a healer? I mean, I guess technically, because I do have a body of work that definitively proves my capacity to heal beyond what medical science can explain. So yeah, technically I can use that term, but in real life, am I a healer? No, I should have healed myself already. Yeah, I don't even sedate the pain receptors unless I have to work. Tell me that's not fucking crazy. I don't work on myself. Unless I get desperate, I won't work on myself. So the more accurate term for my existence, I'm wounded. Because I am, I'm injured, I'm wounded. So what do these titles even mean? You're so busy identifying as something, you forget that you are so much more than that one small fragment of your existence. That's what they want. They want you hyper-fixated on things that cause you to have this belief that you are more than what you are because you're this now. Who gives a shit? You are exactly what you need to be. even without those titles, even without your acknowledgement. You are exactly what you need to be, carefully calibrated by creation itself. So what does that mean? You don't know how to quantify that. So then you feel, I don't know, I feel lost. I feel like I don't know myself. And you mistake that feeling for a space of weakness, when in reality, that feeling of being lost, not knowing yourself, not knowing the answers, that's the invitation to find out firsthand for yourself, to find out exactly how powerful you are. You know what I'm realizing right now? Being injured at the level of severity that I was injured, I was so fucked up, my spine was compressed 2 inches. That's about this much. Well, yeah, that's about this much. That's 2 inches. I lost 2 inches. I don't have much height. I'm like, that's a big deal. That's a big fucking deal, yo. I need those 2 inches so I can reach the bottom shelf of my cabinets. No, this shit's not funny, but it is. I need the 2 inches to be able to reach for things in my kitchen cabinets. Had I not experienced the things that I experienced in this year, I would not have an even more ripened understanding of the reality of my strength, my tenacity, my stamina through conflict, my capacity to continue existing despite the chaos that swirls around me. I don't say that as though life sucks. I say that in absolute awe. Like little old me, God put so much power, so much capacity in this little ass body of mine. And when I say it like that, the only other thing that comes to mind is, man, I'm fucking unfuckwithable. But is it? Is it crazy, or is it only crazy to me because I still, to some degree, exist in a space where it's hard for me to accept and acknowledge I'm a powerful person. And in my power, I do amazing, beautiful things, not just for myself, not just for my family, for everyone. I like that. I like that a lot. I will say there were moments through this process that's extended the entirety of 2025 at this point where I questioned, why do I do so much for other people when I am in such a fucked up space? Why do I continue to do so much for other people? That's stupid. That's obnoxious. Is it? Or is it evidence that no matter what happens in my life, I will always just be a good person? No matter how much pain I'm in, no matter what I'm asked or forced to endure, I will always just be a good, kind, loving and compassionate person. That's who I am. I don't have to question that anymore. It's who I am. There's a gift in everything you endure. And if you can silence the distortions, the disharmonic thoughts, the attempts by demonic things to present your process of cultivation, you come to a realization of how amazing this process actually is. It's bringing your attention to the things that you need to pay attention to. Because I'm chosen? Chosen by what? We all were hand chosen to exist in this moment. So technically and in all other sense of the concept, we're all chosen. We're all chosen to choose for ourselves how we will exist. Michael asks me, is it my humbleness and my humility that causes me to refuse to be associated with the concept of being a chosen one? Last part of the message. I think I'm going to do a series for people who are prepared for it. How do you guys feel about me doing a video series regarding spiritual traps? Are you guys familiar with what spiritual traps are? Because there's a lot of people who operate from a space of ego traps in spirit. And they get caught up in these loops that really do a number on their psyche. And it's, from what I'm observing and have been observing for quite a few years now, it's kind of the precursor to spiritual psychosis. It's just the precursor to spiritual psychosis. So that's definitely something that Soul has placed in my heart a few days ago, and now I'm seeing why. So, okay, shadow self, Mother Earth, patience, emotions, be still in communication. You're being asked to traverse your valley of shadows to bring your power back into this earthly existence. You need to have patience with this process because emotions are going to be the very thing that's used to serve as an impetus for this process. This process is something you cannot control. You cannot rush it. You cannot slow it down. You cannot stop it. You cannot, you can't control it in any way, shape, or form. All you can do is be still as you receive instructions from soul, communication from soul. So I'm going to do a video series. I'm going to give it to my social media gal. It's a video series on spiritual traps. And hopefully the people who need to receive that will receive that. Honey Believe, how are you? How are you? I hope you're doing well. All right, guys, I got to get going though. I hope today's conversation has helped to encourage you to step more in your power, to be more present in your process, and to have some more grace for yourself. Remember, if the things that I'm saying is triggering you, it's because there's something in that message your soul is wanting you to hear. Separate the emotion for a moment. Re-listen to the part that triggered you. Ask your soul, soul, what part of this was I supposed to receive? Might not be the whole message. It's probably not the whole video. If you allow yourself to receive what needs to be received, guess what? You get that much further on your process. And that's important. Okay? So nothing I said was intended to make anyone feel bad, but I can't control how it makes you feel. So when you feel things, you need to look at where you're feeling it and why. Because your soul is trying to bring your attention to something. So if you pay attention to it, you can begin the process of actually resolving it.